Welcome to the Drunk Guys Book Club, where books aren't just for school, where book clubs aren't just for women, and beer is the secret to the universe.
I'm Mike.
I'm Nate.
I'm Jimmy.
And we're the Drunk Guys, and this week we are reading, Aristotle and Dante Discover the Secrets of the Universe by Benjamin Alire Sans, Comic Sans, and I'm starting a beer. Good luck editing this, gentlemen.
Goddamn.
So this is one we're doing this for Pride Month, and it's a popular book and TikTok and all that stuff. And the beginning, when Aristotle meets Dante, he's like, he seems like a normal guy, and he finds out later on he's actually kind of like not into girls. He's more like into rump. This is Rumpkin. So you thought I was gonna make a Blumpkin joke, but I didn't.
Goddamn.
I saw this at the store. I was like, how can I make this work? Because I really just wanted to drink it.
Actually, quite easily.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I could squeeze into this Rumpkin pretty easily. And it is an ale brewed with pumpkin and spices aged in rum barrels. It's 16.75% alcohol, but it was bottled a decade ago. So I don't really know what to make. What's going to happen to me?
What, you bought it from the store and it was bottled
today?
Oh, my God. What? Had it been in the store for a decade?
Who knows? I don't know. I'm gonna try it. You know what? That's really good. I'm not just curious about this. This is great. This is excellent. It tastes like I don't taste any pumpkin, which is probably a good thing. And the pumpkin pie spices have mellowed over the decade. And it tastes like raisins and molasses. So speaking of asses, this book or molasses.
This came book out, won the fucking poll against all the other, what I would call actual literature. I don't know why. This famous on TikTok? Why? Because it's a kid's book?
It's a young.
And won by one vote.
Damn it. We're going to start cheating.
Yeah, we need to.
We are allowed to vote, actually.
We can vote, yeah.
One vote.
We have one vote.
Collectively, we have one vote. I remember when there was the one that was tied or almost tied. It was the one where each of us had a thing and I went and voted for myself. Then one of you went and unvoted for me.
It was totally me, yeah. No, let the people choose.
Let them watch.
So I think it's popular. There was a movie made of this in the last couple of years.
Really?
It's a YA, yeah, 2 years ago. And it's a YA book, and it checks off a lot of the YA boxes. So I'm sure this has been in, while probably challenged in some schools, it's also probably been in a lot of school libraries, and that's not a bad thing. Or just a lot of kids have read this book in the last decade, and it's fine. It's just, you know,
it's fucking boring.
It's not. It's not great. No.
Okay. End.
This book. I'll say this is about this book is about gay shit, which is fine. But I wouldn't say it's gay in the 1987 sense of calling something gay that it means it's bad. It's literally gay.
Though it does take place in 1987.
That's true. Yeah. So it takes place in Texas. I forget where.
It's El Paso.
El Paso.
El Paso.
Apparently the guy lives there or is from there.
Did you look up anything about the author?
Nope. Just look up how to say his name just now.
He is a man in his 60s. He's 69. Nice.
Oh, cool.
And
good for him.
Came out as gay in like his 50s. After being married to a woman for 15 years.
It's probably hard to come out as a gay Mexican guy in El Paso.
In 2008. It's also after years of living one type of life to change, you know. I mean, I'm just purely talking out of my ass. But I would imagine, you know, coming out is very different when you're 18 versus 48. Like,
yeah.
And like people's view of you has calcified.
Yeah.
Or you just stop giving a fuck.
I mean, that's a thing people do also when they get old.
Take it from me.
Well, yeah, when I watched you sit on that park bench today and yell at the neighborhood children, Nate, I knew that he's getting there.
Okay, so it starts out in 1987. Main character.
When we came out.
And
yeah, true.
His name is Aristotle. And he's a Mexican, 15-year-old Mexican boy. His name's Aristotle. And at the pool, the swimming, he goes swimming at the pool. And he meets a boy named Dante. And so they kind of become friends. Because he's that hot. Because he's that hot. So that might have been it. So anyway, they become friends because they both have.
He's like, hey, Aristotle, games. Do you go Greek?
they both have names that involved in classical literature. So
and they're both kind of like loner, weird kids.
But Dante is the son of a professor and like a therapist. Like,
yeah, she's a psychologist,
drug counselor,
sometimes.
Or something. Like, yeah, but he's, you know, so he fits that trope of like the very cultured kid, and he calls his dad by his first name, and they talk about poetry. Like, he's clearly like kind of not from this area, whereas Aristotle knows how to throw a punch and hangs out, and he's like calls people vato and shit like that. Like, he's a Mexican kid from 1987, like,
but also trying area. To there's addition to the not very subtle gay stuff, there's a lot of, you know, cultural identity things, because, you know, they're Mexican-American, but they're like, I don't feel that Mexican, but, you know, you should be more Mexican or be less Mexican. I don't know, depending on who you talk to, and a lot of that. And Dante is, I guess, light-skinned, so he doesn't really feel like Mexican at all. So it's a lot of that, which I don't know anything about either. So I was at a loss twice. But
there's,
yeah.
There's, like, just enough of it that you're going, oh, that's a thing happening. But it's one of those, but if you don't, as a not-Mexican-American... I can only guess, and I feel like as I was reading it, and I was like, "Well, I guess they just don't like gay people back then, or they didn't like gay people." And then I feel like, "Well, am I just projecting shit onto like what it meant to be a Mexican American in the 80s?" Or it's kind of
in El Paso, which is a border town, so it was a significant Mexican population. I mean, it used to be Mexico not that long before then, 10, 15 years.
A lot of America used to be Mexico.
Yeah.
They're trying to come here and take our land. Wait, that's our thing.
Oh, wait, no, we took theirs. That's right.
They took it first, so we took it back?
No.
For us, no. The Native Americans.
So he meets Dante, and Dante's like, hey, can I teach you how to swim? And he's like, okay.
Swing? No, swim.
Yes, swim.
Okay, so they become friends. They hang out, and then one day they're
high,
like,
literature.
Yes,
a lot
you
of
know
poems.
They're out in the street, or like they're by the side of the road, and it's raining. I forget why, because suddenly I was like, "Wow, a thing happened."
That's because
in
the
book.
Of the water cycle, Nate. That's how rain happens.
Thank you. Yes,
condensation built up in the clouds.
Okay, thank you. What
it's
I meant
raining,
was,
I
how does this
why?
Work?
Ray, what is
God
rain?
Is crying because he sees gay boys?
But we skipped ahead because, you know, they have a whole summer of bonding.
I was skipping to the first thing that happened, and the first thing that quote happened in the book.
Well, you skipped this really important line, Nate. Actually, you skipped two really important lines and some important plot points, including Aristotle doesn't get along with his dad because his dad has PTSD from Vietnam and won't talk to him, which is, you know, I get it. And then he sees Dante, and he's like, wow, he gets along with his dad. He's like, I wondered what it would be like to walk into a room and kiss my father. It's like, huh.
Because yeah, they're like European. They kiss each other on the cheek as a greeting.
Yeah. And then, you know, they get along, and he's like, wow, I like it here. But Dante, you know, he's more of an effete, what is it, educated child. But Aristotle's hard, it says. I was harder than Dante. I tried to hide that hardness from him because I wanted him to like me, but now he knew that I was hard. And maybe that was okay. Maybe he could like the fact that I was hard, just like the fact that he wasn't hard.
By the end, like, of the book, you'll really like the
what's fact. What's going that on? Like he's got to know how that sounds, right?
It's like a fucking Tobias shit from Arrested Development.
I blew myself.
Like the man inside me.
Anyway, so I have a beer. I have a feeling this is the exact beer I've picked for our Pride book multiple times. This is Rainbows Everywhere by Torch and Crown. Because I went to the beer store and I was like, do they have... I went and broke both my legs ale. And I was like, oh, looks like they're fresh out this week. So I'll just have to get this.
Should have grabbed it when I had the chance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You never know. You never know when you're going to do that.
never know who's going to get to.
It's an IPA. Anyway, because the next thing that happens in this book, which I actually kind of consider the first thing that happens in this book, is why quote unquote happens in this book, is that they're out next by the road, and it's like raining, I think. And
it is raining.
I was like, whoa, something happened where a car speeding along was going to hit Dante. He was like, you know, classic movie, like, oh, oh no, watch out.
Well, do you remember why he was going to get caught? Is he had to rescue a bird that was wounded in the street.
He's like, I think it's a cock. And he's like, what? It's a bird. Oh, okay. That's what I meant.
And so Aristotle jumps in front and like pushes Dante out of the way, but then Aristotle gets hit and run over by the car. He breaks an arm and both his legs.
I think his legs get turned into meat jelly by getting actually run over.
Mm.
But this is when he finds out that he's part Wolverine and he's going to heal fine. It's just going to take a little while.
Yeah, he gets better pretty quick considering he had both of his legs crushed by a car.
I feel like that would take a year or more.
It was one of those like rigged up, cholo cars where it's like on the hydraulics, so like only two wheels hit him. Like they bounced
up and down over him.
He does talk later about getting hydraulics put onto his truck. He's like, that would make him Mexican, right?
Well, they saved his life. You might as well get them too.
Which is, throughout the whole book, they rarely call him Aristotle. They call him Ari. And my main criticism of the book, among many, is that the writing isn't very good. It's very heavy-handed. But there's a part when he's like, so I called myself, Ari, because I hated my name. And if I switched the letters, my name was Air. And I thought that might be a great thing, to be Air. Because like he was not who he wants to be. But then I spent literally a half hour on the train thinking about what Aristotle could be an anagram for. And I came up with Total Rise, which is like what he gives Dante. I'm like, oh my God, that's not good. It's like, holy shit, I'm a genius.
Inception.
I don't have any fucking like notes on my notes pad. I was like, oh no, what can I do here?
Could have something to talk about during this.
Yeah, something that won't get cut out.
Well, Dante feels really bad because, he got saved, but then Ari's legs got crushed and he spends like a month in the hospital and then he's in like rehab or something for a while or physical therapy. But, since he's broken many limbs, he has to have sponge baths. So Dante does sponge bath him, which friends do. Well, I guess if your friend got his legs crushed for you, I guess you'd owe him like a handy or something at the least.
I just feel like if it were like two very, very straight teenage boys, he'd be like, I guess I have to like give you a bath. I'm like, you totally do, bro. No homo. And he'd be like, como? He's like, no homo. It's not a Mexican thing. And then he'd be like, all right. And then obviously, you'd bare ass fart on your friend as much as you could during the sponge. Like that would be the whole point of it. And this was like the first clue. Like Dante doesn't go like, I'm gonna fart on you, because that's when you're a 16-year-old boy.
And also before and after.
Oh yeah, but like that's when you don't even think about pink eye yet. You're just like, I'm just gonna fart. That would have been really funny. Instead, he's like, this is a tender, gentle moment between me and my friend. Let me push that down. I don't want to think about that. That can't come up again. I'm going to go jog when as soon as my legs are better and lift weights.
Spends a lot of time lifting weights. So, he's recovering for the summer and, he's got his bones growing and healing. And, he's like, cool, my bones are pudding, but they're getting better. You're making me hard in my bones. And then Dante's like, since my dad's a fucking nerd, I've got to move to Chicago for a year because he's going to teach there.
Joining Dauntless.
Yeah. He's a crossover with another YA series. So he's like, oh, I'm not gay openly now, so I have to pretend that I'm not bothered by this, even though also you're my only friend besides two girls that I just am mean to. So then he leaves and he's like, all right, I'm going to be an independent hard kid again. A real hard kid. And you're like, I...
Which, to be happening? Fair, most 16-year-old boys spend their independent time being hard.
Yeah. Well, Dante does write him a lot of letters, including one about his asking about his masturbatory habits, which is kind of a lot of information to procure by handwritten letter, especially.
Well, the letter was like crusted shut. He had to like peel it open first.
It was a seal. It wasn't wax, but
you know. It was like a, with a signet ring. He had closed it.
It's just mushroom stamped instead of with a ring.
So, all right, Dante is away in Chicago for the school year, and Ari is back in his regular high school, and both of them seem to be a hit with the ladies, because Dante is sending him letters like, oh yeah, there's two girls are into me, but I just really like you. That's what Dante says in his letters. And then Ari is like, a girl kisses him, and he goes and like, he's like, oh, where is her locker? Let me see if she'll do that again. But somehow it doesn't work out. I forget.
They also, exactly Dante... Did it? When did Dante kiss?
No, Dante kisses. He writes about how he kissed a girl at a party and all that shit. And Ari sees a hot girl, a hot older lady who is, I guess, 18. And he's like, I would like to get to know her. And so he leaves her a letter.
She kisses him at a party. And everyone's like, that girl's a fucking hoe, dude. Yeah. You don't want to be involved with that.
And then there's a chapter later on in this book of literally, I want to say 100 chapters, because each one is 2 pages long, where almost nothing happens in most of them.
It's like a Dan Brown book.
Oh, yeah. Except even less happens. At least they're running around doing fake art mysteries in that. In this, they're just having angst. But in this one, there's like one chapter where the girl's like, I like you a lot, but I have a boyfriend. He's in a gang. He's like, oh no, that's okay. That's all right. We can still try this. And he goes to her house because she disappears, like, and her brother's like, nah, son, she's pregnant and got married. He's like, all right, that's the end of that. I was like, this has been 2 pages.
No, he does say, like, listen, vato.
Yeah.
It's <That's> really funny.
He does vato him, yeah.
I was like, I looked at it, I was like, what does that exactly mean? He's like, listen, Holmes, you know? And he's like, Jesus, where does this fit into the plot? And he's like, she got knocked up and she got married to him, but it's 1987. He's in a gang. It's MS-9. You know, like, they haven't gotten to 13 yet. He's like, okay.
It's like, all right, that's that whole side plot knocked out real efficiently, I guess.
Also, Ari's parents buy him a truck.
Yes.
Once he can finally walk again, they buy him a truck so he can, because he's like turning 16 and stuff like that. And also, a stray dog like comes up to him and is like very friendly. He's like, can we keep the dog? And the dad is like, yeah, sure, we can keep the dog. And he names the dog Legs.
Because it's the day he gets his...
Because the dog has legs.
The first name was Butthole.
Dog also has a butthole.
The dog has one of those too.
Yeah.
It would have been kind of funny. Maybe we should cut this. But kind of funny if it was a dog that had like you know, missing a leg or
missing
had
a butthole,
or you know, had to use one of those little scooters, one of those little dog scooters,
like dog wheelchair.
I don't know if those. I don't know if those existed in 1987.
Not
I
also in Texas, don't think they dogs
listen.
Dog.
Dogs don't listen to the podcast, Nate. It's fine.
Yeah. They're not, they're not going to complain.
Christy Gnome, whatever her name is, she would have written a chapter about shooting that dog.
Well, she would have said that dog was coming after her children.
She just old young yellered it.
Yeah. Speaking of so putting down your dog.
Oh, yeah.
Some people are down with us.
Not after today, probably. Goodbye, patrons. It's been awesome.
This is our poll episode, so they voted for this. We gave them 3 other choices, and they chose this one. So that was real shit move, people. But once a month, we let them vote, and they chose this. And in turn, we thank them. And in thanking them, they get to humiliate us and say some nice things to all of them. Let's see. We're going to thank these fine people. All right. Well, thank you to people who chose to support us emotionally, monetarily, and physically when we are hungover. Thank you to Catherine, Jeff, somebody get Jimmy a Benadryl. He's allergic to fun. I still don't get it. I think I've got a lot of fun in me.
Especially in Pride Month.
Yeah. Al Dog, Avery, Black Rabbit of Inlay. Here's a person with a very long name. I have recently bought a new sexy toy called the Masturbatorial Individualized Kinetic Ejaculator. Mike, for short. And I've been fucking Mike nonstop. But the best part of fucking this Mike is that after I orgasm, it doesn't blackmail me into being on its book podcast. That's true. Did you tell him how this happened? Oh, wow. What a good guess.
Nate, thumbs that up.
And I literally Nate's was scratching.
Colluding with patrons for these names.
Here we got Carol, CL, Colton, De Rubber Box, Derek, Emotional Support Burrito, Fucka My Boobs, Mike.
What?
Fucka My Boobs, Mike.
I mean, sure.
Frederick, Grace, Hayden, I have a Chuck Tingle in my grundle. Joe P, good. Josh.
Had one of those.
Oh, wow, another really long name. Wow, people are really, these names are getting out of hand. I'm often asked how ska can be my favorite type of music. My answer is that when you've had to listen to Mike talk as much as I have, literally anything else starts to sound pretty good.
You know what? I'm fine with that. I know. I sent you the Christian ska band song the other day.
Oh, Jimmy, you're like, I haven't heard that before. That's a classic.
Have you heard this bullshit? And Jimmy didn't. He just was like too busy picking it up. Yeah. He couldn't say anything back.
It's been a busy few days. Linda, Meep, Mr. Slotch, Poo-Tang Clan, Steven, Thick Richard III, Ween.
It's like the one real name in the patch.
Steven. Mr. Like Slotch could be his name.
Steven.
Steven. Lame.
Not even trying,
it's actually,
bro.
It's Steven with PH here. His real name seems to be Steven with a V, though. Bold move, Steven.
He got us, yeah.
Here's another one. Man, parents are really, really laying it on their kids. when I started work as an EMT, I didn't realize most of my calls would be for people who fell asleep behind the wheel listening to Mike on the podcast.
Ooh. Oh, that's fine. That same boring voice, Kevin and or Justin, has put your mothers to sleep, and then the things I did to them would send them to the EMTs.
William, and last but not least, alphabetically, Zaphod Beeblebrox, a fictional character. Both heads
are fictional patrons. Great.
So to point out, I am not offended by those. Nice try, gentlemen. You broke something when you referred to my Achilles cankle that I laughed at a lot. I thought it was really fucking funny. And
the bar has been set.
Now I have lost any positive self-image I had. It's fine. It's over. You win, but I get your fucking $10, you fucking assholes.
It is. Yes, that's true.
Thanks, patrons. You guys are way cooler than you used to be.
Nate's out of the doghouse.
I have a feeling.
Yeah, those old ones. Woof. They were rough. So if you want to join that esteemed list, go to patreon.com/drunkguys. I can't even. I think I'm having a stroke. /drunkguys book club. Bye. My brain broke. It's me just suppressing the shame. So then more nothing happens.
All right. So Dante comes back from Chicago. It's an entire school year. Now it's the following summer.
That we have to sit through for no reason.
You know what, man? Imagine how much worse it would have been if he had a whole fucking section of the school year. Like, and then I had mean Mr. Wilkins, who was the teacher for ELA, and I had to do a project. Like, it could have been so much worse.
Well, instead, he just talks about how he gets a job at a burger joint for a long time, and how much he works, and how his two friends that are girls are sassy. And then this one really weird scene where another weird kid shows up, and he's like, hey, come on in. What's up? And he's like, you hungry? And then the kid says, nah, you ever shoot up? They're like, what the fuck? Where did this come from? And he's like, no, I'm good. And he's like, fuck you, Vato. And he leaves. And, and this is the conversation they have. You know, why don't you do something else to do drugs with you, Vato? I figured the guy was lonely, but he didn't have to be an asshole about it. And he said, you're gay, Vato. You know that. What the hell are you talking about? I was gay because I didn't want to shoot up heroin. And then I said, yeah, I'm gay and I want to kiss you. It's like,
And then the guy's like, no, man, I'm good. And he leaves.
And then you never see that character again.
He has never stopped running. He's still going.
He left the state. He said, no, I'll Paso. And he walked away.
This is the lone brown star state. Oh, no.
But then Dante comes back. And at this point, Dante has confessed by letter that he is into boys. And when he kisses girls, he is thinking about Ari.
Ari. Because he's Jewish.
Yeah. There's several Jewish Mexicans. Four, five, maybe even six.
One of them is now president.
The president.
Oh, true,
Did you guys see that she thanked her husband in a tweet in Spanish? Her name is Claudia Sheinbaum or something like that.
Yeah,
the president Sheinbaum. Of Mexico. What would be the funniest name for her husband to have for her to thank? She thanked her husband Jesus, and then people are like, she's not even a real Jew. It's like that was a real thing, and people are like, no, she's not saying thank you, Jesus. She's thanking her husband Jesus.
Wow, I have conspiracy theories looped full around that. The whole answer is it's not the Jews.
But, maybe it's like stolen valor. You know, she's trying.
So Dante's back in town.
Although, by the way, we never mentioned it. It comes back sporadically, sprinkled in like bits of ground beef in a Taco Bell product. There are mentions. Ari has an older brother.
Oh, yeah.
Bernardo, who's in jail, and the parents
won't
talk. He was
in the Sharks.
They will never talk about what happened to Bernardo, but he's in prison forever, apparently. And, you know, he's much older. Ari's like a much younger kid. He's you know, 16 or 17 in the book, and his siblings are married with children. They're in their 30s, and the parents won't even talk about it. The dad won't talk about Nam. And so, you know, you're kind of... reading this, and it's like, oh, why is Ari mad? Why is Ari weird and aloof? And it's like, well, he's got all this like weird, unprocessed trauma at home. And that's just like there lurking in the background. It will get resolved literally on the last page of the book. When that all gets answered. It's just there. And we should just say that that's in the background.
So anyway, Dante is back from Chicago, and Dante is like, hey, what if I just tried kissing you? And Ari's like, no, but really, what if we just try it? No.
How do you know you're not gay unless you try?
Okay, so Dante is like, just try it once. And Ari is like, okay, fine, we'll try it. So they kiss briefly, and then Ari is like, nope, didn't do it for me. And Dante is, of course, very sad.
I need to be alone now.
Because Dante is not out, but he's out to Ari. And he has like a boy in town that he's messing around with, but he's definitely not out because it's 1987 Texas.
In a Mexican-American community.
Yeah.
So they're just, you know, if they find him, they'll beat him to death with their rosaries.
Yes. So and Ari is still, you know, not claiming, but just like, because the book is pretty much like Ari's perspective. So... in his mind, he's like, he's not even thinking like, yeah, I could bang him. He's like, no, why would I do that? I like girls, and that's a hot lady. Though you can tell he's repressed in one particular exchange with those friends of those who are girls, where you know, because he doesn't talk much about his life, and they're like, what's up with you? You got a girlfriend? He's like, yep, I said. What's her name? Cher. It's like, the first woman you thought of was Cher. Come on, man. good try.
Oh, well, yeah. He's too young for it to have been Judy Garland.
So yeah. Different era.
This is like right about the time when Cher was dancing around half naked for Sailors in her music videos. The music video, If I Could Turn Back Time. It's like 1988. I'm not gay, but it's 1988, and she's dancing around on like a ship at Fleet Week, and it's a bunch of sailors lined up, and she's in like a fishnet body stock dancing around with a thong on and then singing about If I Could Turn Back Time. And all the dudes are just like, yeah, this is so much better than that last song about the Navy. It was the Village People one. And this... he definitely saw that music video, and he got the wrong lesson, not the intended lesson from it.
No. Does anything else happen in this book?
Okay. So Ari and Dante, they're like kind of getting along, but I mean, they're getting along, but they're still, Ari's like, no, it didn't do it for me. But then
he's Batman.
Ari's aunt dies.
His aunt dies. And this was the aunt that he like stayed with as a kid when his brother was on trial. As he reveals, he discovers later, because he doesn't remember it because he was little.
He was like four. Which, to be fair, what do you remember really from when you're four? I remember we stayed with her. I stayed with her for a little while, and I'm like, dude, it was 9 months. You have no sense of time when you're four.
No. So she dies of cancer, and then she has a stroke, something like that. But anyway, and so they go to the funeral. So he and his family go to the funeral and stuff like that. But they're the only ones in the family that go. And then Aristotle asks his mom, like, where are all the other aunts and uncles we've totally met during the book? Totally. And she's like, well, they just didn't approve. Like, he's like, whoa, what do you mean? Well, remember that, and he said a name of a
remember
a
that
woman.
Woman who drove a Subaru that was always at Aunt Ophelia's house? He's like, you mean Marge, who played softball?
And then his mom was like, yeah, so they were very good friends. No, she actually says they were lovers, and the family didn't approve. And he's like, oh, okay. I guess that's why. I mean, it's not like, okay, that's good. He's like, oh, I get it now.
Do you notice that the whole book, they almost never actually say gay? You notice that? Or lesbian, or any, it's just kind of like, he kisses boys. She had a lover that was a lady. Like, they never say it. I wonder, I mean, obviously it's intentional, but no one's comfortable with it. Or fully, not in a modern sense where it's like, that's just like, whatever.
It's like Beetlejuice. If you say it, you become gay.
I've heard that's true, though. That's why I'm on the line. I said it twice, and I'm just nervous. I don't even say words that rhyme with it.
Just in case.
Are there words that rhyme with Beetlejuice? Like, you might be pretty safe.
Because in like a weird deus ex machina that doesn't matter, his aunt dies and leaves specifically Aristotle at her house. And he's like, thanks. Cool. I have money now. But it doesn't matter again in the book. Maybe it matters. There is a sequel book. Maybe it matters then. But it's just like a random detail.
This is a series that I hope I never have to continue.
It was fine. I mean, we'll get to it later. The book was fine, but yet it's a YA novel.
Yeah,
it's
not the standards like a aren't
well
high.
Done YA novel. Exactly. Standards are low. It's like if you gave it to a kid, it's like, hey, you want to read this? They would think it was okay.
I imagine some kids, especially if you are, I mean, you know, to be honest, I got through most of the book and I was like, Aristotle's not gay? I thought he was going to be gay this whole time. Like, because he seems to be holding that line pretty strong, you know? Like, no, I'm into kissing girls and that's it. And I was like, all right. And my thought was the whole time was the Norm Macdonald review of Interview with a Vampire. His review of Interview with a Vampire was not gay enough. So the whole time I was like, is only one of these kids is gay? It's not even that gay of a book. Come on. I really like wanted like a love story or something here. And then at the end, his parents... Like,
well, before that happens, a lot has to happen before then.
Yeah, a bunch happens.
Because Dante gets beat up for being gay, and then Ari goes to beat up the guy who beat him up.
Berserker. Yeah.
And then his parents are like, you can't go around beating people up, because that's what your brother did. And his brother beat up a transvestite prostitute. He beat him to death when he was 15. And he went to jail, where he beat another person to death. And they're like, you just can't be going punching people. Also, son, you're gay. I mean, that's kind of how it goes down. They're like, dude, you're gay,
like,
man.
Listen, they're going to give him like the L's and the B's conversation. The L's and the G's. I'm like, can we tell you about something, son? And this is, I have another beer. I've been drinking it the whole time. They say, son, you're special. This beer is called the Waldo Special Ale from Lagunitas. So the whole book, there's been this thing where Ari's like, my dad doesn't want to talk. He's a fucking dick. And I love my mom. And how does she get her hair like that? And then at the end, they sit down. The dad's like, let's have a beer. Did I ever tell you about the time in Nam when this guy from New Orleans died in front of me? And he's like, holy shit. Yep. Also, son, by the way, just so you know, you're gay. And they're like, oh, cool, dad.
What's the connection there?
And it's like, it's the equivalent of, you're a wizard, Harry, but for this book, in this universe, you're gay.
But that's really what happens. The bear's like, you know, Dante really loves you. He's like, I know, Mom. He's fucking, you know, he's into boys or whatever. It's cool. I'm cool with it. And they're like, yeah, but you love him. They're like, they're weirdly pushing this on him. But you love him too. You didn't just do a dumb thing to push him out of the way of that car. It's because you are in love with him.
Which is possible, but also, I don't know. You might push your friend out of the way of a car.
And not, because kids have that, still that dumb, immortal thinking. They're like, that's not going to hurt me.
And also, in a split-second decision, you don't weigh pros and cons. Like, oh, car coming, better push that guy. Better, like, you're not thinking, I will sacrifice myself. You're thinking, gotta move us both. But it's hard to do that. But it's like, no, you pushed him because you're gay, son. It's like, really? I haven't really felt that gay. He's like, no, it's because you're gay. I mean, yeah, he is gay, but that's not the best reasoning. Also, it's literally his only fucking friend. This kid's got no real friends until he meets this one dude. Sure, you're going to want to try and make him not die from a car.
Dude, I remember, I mean, I don't know, maybe I was also a young gay Mexican boy, but when I was in high school, I always ever had like one friend at a time that I hung out with most of the time. Like, there are people you were friendly with in school, but like there was like always like one person you spent a lot of time with, it felt like, and then that changed because you're like, hey, I don't like these things anymore. Mostly, you know, being gay with them. But then it's like, and then you do something. But like, yeah, I always had like a friend, and that was it. I was also kind of and I wasn't a loner, but like, you know, I don't know.
Kid had literally one friend. His parents were like, dude, are you okay? You don't have any friends before he met Dante. And they're like, I'm fine, Mom. I'm just different. And I was like, okay. Oh, do you know, shoot up the school?
Edge lords yet? Like, we're like, guys, it's not a phase.
Well, these are fucking kids that like read The Heart of Darkness and they like it. So automatically, you know, something is wrong.
Oh, yeah. A psychopath.
He's like, no, this kid's going to shoot up a school.
Imperialism.
The horror. I just think it's very odd for parents to be like, listen, you're gay. And then the son be like, oh, shit.
I think sometimes we like,
the parents come out to him.
You don't, yeah. You'd be like, maybe if you're sensing like the kid is gay and, you know, he's afraid to tell you that, it's one thing. But I'm surprised that they got any hints at all, because he literally does zero gay stuff except have a friend who is gay, which does imply that they think that it's contagious.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is with this community. That's all it takes. Son, you've already got it. Don't infect the rest of us.
Quarantine. So at the very end, the parents sit him down and said, you know, you love him too. We know it. And he's like, what? What are you talking about? And then he goes to Dante and says, hey, remember the time we kissed? And Dante is like, don't remind me. I'm still so mad. And Aristotle's like, I lied. I liked it too.
Did we talk about him getting beat up? I forgot already. We did. Okay.
Yeah. So he's better. He's better. Cause like both of them are Wolverine. Like they both heal.
They're teenagers.
Very quickly. Yeah.
Did you ever get drunk as a teenager? Like as like a 19-year-old? Like,
no, I didn't. I didn't start drinking until I was 19.
I didn't either.
I remember being like, your body, it's incredible how
you're talking about like hangover recovery?
Just anything. You just like, I remember getting fucking obliterated drunk when I was 19 at somebody's birthday, throwing up in the street, and then like walking home, and then like drinking more, and then and then waking up the next day and be like, oh, that was a rough night. And then I was fine.
Yeah. Back then.
I'd be in fucking traction right now if I did that. I would not serve. It's incredible how resilient a 19-year-old teenage, you know, boy is.
Yeah.
That sounds very gay. I realize that sounds like I'm really into bucks. But it's incredible how much you quickly recover.
Skin is so buoyant.
It's just taut. So supple. It's springy.
Like a leather sail.
I don't know what that means.
I'm very tired.
The skin on his... Nate's going to cut it out. I can't even waste my time.
So that's the end of the book. He's like, my parents told me I'm gay. We can be together now. And then there's a sequel that I don't care about.
And then he's left at the end, and he's like, how could I... He realized, like, I was ashamed. I felt ashamed of being in love with this boy.
Yeah.
How could I, though? He's amazing. I love him. It's sweet. It's nice.
It's perfectly nice.
You know, his parents are like, you know, you're gay, son. And he's like, no, we're boys.
Nah, son.
No, you're gay.
No, your mom's gay. No, but he says, like, but we're boys aren't supposed to do that. You know, because 1987, or maybe it's 1988 at this point. But his parents are like, it's all right. It's okay. His parents had to show him that it's all right. Had to finally talk to him for the first time. Or his father did. Yeah. And then it's over. And then he's accepting.
There's nothing wrong with the book. It's just YA stuff, so like the standard is already pretty low. It's fine. It's just there was so much not happening for I want to say 75% of the book. It was just kind of boring. It's like that fucking section of Twilight when Edward leaves and you're like, what's the point of this book? Where they're just waiting for him to get back.
And there are like 10 empty pages.
I mean, the 10 empty pages.
Best part of the book.
The best part of the book. But like, then the rest of the book is just like, well, I'm just going to bide my time with Wolfie here until like the main character gets back. And it's like just kind of a waste. It's all filler. Like, there's so much filler in this. It's like, and each chapter is 2 pages long. So how do you still do that? Maybe it's just that we've read so much YA at this point that I hate it more. Like if I just read this book as my first YA book, I was like, yeah, it's fine. Whatever. No harm, no foul. This is just like, ugh. It's just, they're all so fucking predictable and blasé. And the writing quality is not great. Better than I could write, certainly. But like the whole fucking title, you know, Aristotle
don't
and Dante.
Don't discover the secret of the universe.
It's so fucking full of like these like things that sound like, oh, high literature, but it's for YA shit. So it's like...
It's like in Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Yeah.
Like, and then we were infinite. And you're like, oh, come on.
There's just something about, I knew I wasn't a boy anymore, but I still felt like a boy. Sort of. There are other things I was starting to feel. Man things, I guess. Man loneliness was much bigger than boy loneliness.
I highlighted a few of my note each time was black.
I bet you could sometimes find all the mysteries of the universe in someone's hand. Eh? I don't know.
I mean, I don't call cum that, but sure. I liked their... I don't know what they're... The context doesn't really matter, but this is how... Like, the chapters always have to end with
faux
gravity.
Poignancy?
Yeah. That afternoon, I learned two new words. Inscrutable and friend. Words were different when they lived inside of you. What? Is that a haiku? I don't know what that is. And then
no.
One
so
was,
if it has SAT words, it'll be purchased by more school libraries.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll be a writer, she said. A poet. It sounded like a beautiful thing when she said it. Too beautiful for me. That sounds like the poetry a teenager writes.
Oh, yeah, I got teenage poetry here. The summer sun was not meant for boys like me. Boys like me belonged in the rain. What? Why?
Yeah.
And we skipped how they go running naked. They strip naked and run around in the rain.
Oh, yeah. Sausage flopping.
So it's chapter 18, Jimmy Dean. And then the sausage is out. For breakfast?
Sun's out, sausage out. You know? That's the old saying.
There was one thing where... So after Dante got back from Chicago, and then Eri is talking to his two like friends that are girls, and he's like, "Oh, you're friends with this boy? Yeah, no, who is he? Oh, he goes to Cathedral, you know, the other school." And the girls are like, "Oh, Cathedral boys." And then Eri says, "Yeah, boys at Cathedral suck." And I was like, "Oh, foreshadowing." Because you know where it's going.
I just found one more bad. Just this one might be the worst one. Another end of the chapter. And it seemed to me that Dante's face was a map of the world. A world without any darkness. Wow. A world without darkness. How beautiful was that? That sounds like the dumb shit from Meghan Markle's podcast when she tried to be deep.
Mm.
Say more.
It sounds like really every other fucking YA book where it's just like I guess that's a metaphor, but for what?
What does it mean? His face is a map of a world without darkness.
It means his face still has to deal with the breakup of Yugoslavia, just like the rest of us do.
Holy shit, the Ottoman Empire's still there. It's it's insane. It's the kind of thing that seems deep when you don't know anything, and that's probably the ultimate problem. It's for kids. It's not for us.
Yeah,
straight men.
I guess maybe it's a sign of progress that you can have a shitty YA book about being gay.
Well, I wonder if Would you get shit from people for saying that this wasn't a good book? That shows how much progress there is yet to be made.
So the book was still fine because it's YA, and it's like this is YA stuff. This is what is in it, is in YA things. So it's fine.
If they had made it about a boy and a girl, it would have been exactly the same.
Yeah.
It could have just been about a Mexican girl or a boy and a white girl or boy, yeah. And then it would have had everything else the same. Like, you could have had all those like racial themes in there, and it would have been,
the tropes would have all
rounded
still been
out the same way,
interchangeable.
I mean, it wasn't worse than Fourth Wing. It wasn't.
No, Fourth Wing had dragons.
Yeah,
those dragons had dicks.
They did, yes.
This had Batwing.
So anyway, the book was fine, but yet there were parts where I was like, nothing is happening. I mean, things are happening, but it's like, there was few parts where I was like, what is the overall story going to be? It's like, where are they trying to bring a ring to Mordor? It's just kind of like random stuff happening. And of course, the only like thing moving the plot forward is, oh, you know, they're going to get together in the end. Like you do. That's it.
But yeah.
The stuff that's happening in between is just kind of boring. So did we discover the secrets of the universe?
I don't think they did.
That's that was some dumb bullshit. That's a dumb title.
He just keeps saying the secrets of the universe, but he does not say what they are, what the mystery
was.
Like, we don't even know what the mysteries are.
No, it's fields. That is a deep science joke right there.
Gluons or some shit.
This has been a boring movie.
I bet it's a better movie because then it's like the visual payoff of like, oh, they fucking kiss each other at the end. And then they, you know, you've been seeing them give each other these looks because they both want something that they think they shouldn't have. Like, it's probably a much better movie than a book, honestly, if it was done decently well. I just think it had too much. I mean, like most young adult books, like it has to be really heavy handed.
Yeah.
And it's like the parents have secrets. The family has a secret. And the boys have secrets. And then in the last 3 minutes of the book, they're all like, let's show our secrets. And then they're like, oh, I feel so good now. And then they're happy. Though, I mean, fucking, who am I? I was not a gay Mexican kid in 1987.
Still not.
Some people must have been. There were gay Mexicans. Like, they would probably be like, yeah, dude, this was fucking, yeah, Vato, this is exactly what it was like. And, you know, its book is probably great for some young kids.
I mean, it was appropriately thinking it was rich with metaphor, like all 15-year-olds are.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm so deep.
But even, like, when they read books, there's a part where the fuck is Ari's in the Ari, I guess it's Ari from the audiobook, is in the hospital and
he's reading War and Peace.
He reads War and Peace and the Grapes of Wrath. It didn't matter.
Those there are what no he calls his balls, Mike.
Warren Peens. we've read those books. We know at least a little bit about what those books are about. They had nothing to do with this. It was just teenage name droppery. Like, let me show you that these are smart people. It's just...
Yeah, it wasn't like in other books where you, like, they're reading a book and you're like, I understand why they're reading this book in this book. It's like, no, they're just reading famous books.
Yeah.
Any child who thinks that The Heart of Darkness is the most beautiful book they've ever read is insane. You could think it's good. No one thinks it's the most beautiful book they've ever read. It's a fucking horror show.
No one, yeah. Nobody, even the people who like have a PhD in Joseph Conrad studies. So, I don't know. It was fine. It was a breezy read. It was enjoyable. It won, you know, a whole bunch of awards that are either YA awards or book LGBTQ kind of awards or Latino, whatever awards. It won a bunch of those things. So I think it's why you hear about the book. It's very like celebrated. And I guess representation, you know, that is, I don't guess, I know that is important. I just don't think this is a particularly, I just didn't love it. Yeah, whatever.
I mean, I don't think, I can't, there must be less than two, like, YA books that we've read that I thought were genuinely good.
I disagree. I think we've read, you know,
there's a few.
Well, you weren't on The Fault in Our Stars. That was really good.
No, I didn't read that one, no.
No, that there one are, was good, yeah.
There are good YA books. They're rare.
Perks of a Wallflower. Is that a YA book? I don't know.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes, definitely.
I thought that was very, very good.
Yeah, I like that.
Didn't love it.
That's because well, no, you didn't. You're you heartless. Too...
Listen, Vato.
Vato. It's like, this guy is Mexican. Why is it, do they say Vato that much? I don't know. I have Mexican friends. I've never heard them say Vato in real life.
Maybe it was the 80s. I was hoping someone would say essay once.
Yeah, maybe it's a generational thing.
It's like, hey, Vato. And the guy's like, what'd you say, essay? Like, that would have been an amazing exchange. Nothing, Holmes. Like, oh, shit. But I think, I feel like Perks of Being a Wallflower kind of set the standard for YA books of they have to be pretentious. There's like a pretension quotient that has to be met for the kids to be like, because I feel like that was in here too. That's why they're reading The Grapes of Wrath and War and Peace. But the book is fine. It's not hard to read. It's like 4 hours of reading.
It's so quick, yeah.
But you know what's going to happen from the cover, so you kind of don't need to read it.
Yeah, they're gay. And that's like the whole point of the book is that they get together. I guess maybe it's like a really long prologue for the second book, which who the fuck knows what that's about.
Dante and Aristotle discover the secrets of Denny's. It's they really narrow it down. It's called Aristotle and Dante Dive into the Waters of the World.
That's less than the universe.
Really focus. Oh, Nate, did you? Was it Lin-Manuel Miranda who did the thing?
Yes, it was. Yeah,
yeah, he did the audiobook.
He just seems. Someone was telling me about it. Like, something about Lin-Manuel Miranda seems very punchable. He's a very talented guy. It just seems like. You ever watch the celebrities reading mean tweets stuff, and it's. Lin-Manuel Miranda looks like he cries after sex, and he laughed way too hard.
and then he cried.
Absolutely. No, I'm sure he's probably excellent. So, yeah, I don't know if there's a third one in the way, but it took him 9 years to put out the second one.
Well, you know, maybe it's better, but I don't really want to read it.
It's a fine book. Should anybody read this?
If you're a YA person... You know, go for it. If you're having trouble with your sexuality as a young Mexican American, sure. I don't know if that's too niche. If you're an
we
adult,
have so
I don't
many
know
listeners
why.
That fit that category. Yeah,
yeah.
So
maybe
many.
Maybe they're just not.
They
patrons.
Were just waiting
we don't
for
know their
us.
Names.
They're just waiting for us to, you know,
give the okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Millions.
Yeah.
Are
I don't know.
For us. Yeah.
If you're an adult, I don't know why you would read YA books in general, unless you had to, like we do.
I don't know. I'd push back on that.
I get well
because it's a fun book. Like if you look,
yeah,
why
there's certain
be enjoyable.
Ones. There's certain ones, certainly, but like
yeah,
a
but
bunch.
You don't
of them,
know that till you've read it. You don't know till you did it.
I mean, like Fourth Wing's not really YA.
No, that does, I don't know what that is.
It's dragon.
It's romanticy.
Right. That's fucking stupid, and I hate that.
That's what.
That's also basic.
That's what we're supposed to call the gypsies now. We're not supposed to call that.
Oh, God.
All right. Tell us what you thought. Send us an email to drunkguysbookclub@gmail.com.
And follow us on X at drunkguysbc.
And follow us on other ones that aren't X at drunkguysbookclub.
And Patreon. That's the thing. Yeah.
You did Patreon. And leave us a review for 5 stars. 1 time for every vato you know.
And check out the Hopped Up Network, a network of independent beer podcasters. And thanks for listening.